Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday saw much celebration as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that now famous donkey. But it wasn't all celebration. While the crowds sang praises to him who came in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, the leaders of Jerusalem and the Pharisees, the scribes, they met Jesus with hostility. As the crowds sang their praises, the leaders of God's city, Jerusalem, said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They didn't want anyone singing praises to Jesus or declaring him to be the one who comes in the name of the Lord to save his people. As always, wherever Jesus was, some believed and many disbelieved. Jesus knew that. He knew that many in Jerusalem would believe and be saved, but he also knew that the city as a whole, the vast majority, would never believe in him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, on that otherwise joyful Palm Sunday, Jesus wept over Jerusalem, it tells us. "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Maybe the rest of the world could be excused for not recognizing Jesus as the Son of God and the Christ, the Savior, when he came to earth, but not Jerusalem, not the people of Israel. Israel was the nation that God had nourished like a mother nurtures and raises her children from infancy on, the nation to whom God had revealed himself and his word, and his promise of the coming Messiah and his work. Jerusalem was the capital city that God chose for himself and graced with his presence, where he placed his temple and his altar, where he listened to prayer, where he accepted sacrifice. You, even you, Jerusalem, God's daughter, daughter of Zion, do not recognize your God. Do not want to recognize Jesus as your God. You, even you, will crucify your God at the time of your visitation. And yet that's not why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. All of that, even crucifying the Son of God, could have been forgiven, would have been forgiven. But even after his resurrection, after his ascension, when Jesus sent the apostle Peter and the other apostles to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins first to Jerusalem, holding out holy baptism as a gift, as a means of salvation, they still would not repent and believe. They still would not receive holy baptism. Jerusalem would play its awful part in the crucifixion of the Son of God, but then, rather than trust in the atoning sacrifice made by Christ for their sins, they would leave God standing there with his arms open, like a husband whose wife left him for another man. Like a father whose daughter would rather go and live as a prostitute than live in the same house together with him. Jesus knew all that. You, even you who persecuted the prophets of old, will again resist the Holy Spirit and persecute those apostles who are sent to you, and thus you will bring on yourself the just judgment for your sins. the bitter siege of Jerusalem carried out by the Romans, and Jerusalem's total annihilation at the hands of the Romans some 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. In 70 AD, Jesus abandoned Jerusalem for good. God abandoned his city, never to call it his own again. Not the earthly Jerusalem, at least. Notice, though, that God didn't send out his Christian people to take vengeance on the city of the Jews, to wipe them out, even though the Jews were responsible for the slaughter of Christ and many Christians after him. No, God sent the pagan Romans against Jerusalem and Judea, who had their own evil reasons for why they wanted to destroy this city. God never calls upon his Christians to use violence against those who reject Christ. Instead, he places the sword of the Word of God into our mouths to warn the Jews and the Muslims and all unbelievers of their impending destruction and to call them to repentance and faith in Christ. That's the role of the church until Christ comes again. The destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans was just. But understand this. As I said before, the Jews were not condemned by God, and Jerusalem was not destroyed by the Romans because the Jews were responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. The Romans, too, were responsible for Jesus' crucifixion, as we confess every week in the Creed, crucified under Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor. No, those Jews were condemned and slaughtered and eternally damned because of all their sins, which they shared in common with the rest of mankind. You don't have to call for Jesus' death or pound nails into his hands in order to earn God's condemnation. You just have to be born. Born of a sinful man and a sinful woman. You just have to break one of the Ten Commandments in your lifetime, in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, and you've done that too. The sins of the Jews, the sins of all men, have already earned God's condemnation. He delays it, giving men time to hear the gospel and repent. He delays it so that his Holy Spirit might work through the gospel to bring sinners to faith in Christ, which is the only divinely provided way of escape from condemnation. But most of Jerusalem, most of the Jews resisted the Holy Spirit working through the gospel. They refused to believe. Now, the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, prophesied by Jesus in today's gospel, stands for all time as a harbinger of the destruction that awaits all those who stubbornly refuse to repent of their sins and trust in Christ for salvation. Neither Jews nor Gentiles will escape. And as for you who have come to see, who have been brought to see the light of Christ, to repent and be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins, remember Jerusalem, God's chosen city. Remember Jerusalem and its destruction, and know that there, but by the grace of God, go we. Remember how she fell. Remember how she became so good and upright in her own eyes that she no longer cared about her sins, no longer looked for a righteousness from above, no longer looked to her Lord for forgiveness, life, and salvation. What happened to Jerusalem can happen to Christians too if we are not vigilant So remember Jerusalem. But more than that, remember the Lord who wept over her. Over her who was just about to put him to death on a cross. Still with no bitterness. Still with no grudge. Still wanting to take her back as his bride and forgive her her sins even after she crucified him. If only she would take the help from the hand that was outstretched to her. See Jesus weeping and know that he doesn't delight in anyone's destruction, but yearns for every sinner to repent and be saved. Remember the Lord who wept over Jerusalem and turn to him in faith. And then remember him driving out the buyers and sellers from his temple there in Jerusalem. This is the side of Jesus that modern Christianity would rather forget. It's not the nice side. It's not the mild-mannered and mushy-gushy side of Jesus, but it's very real. Now, why was he so upset with the buyers and the sellers in the temple, upset enough to overturn their tables and drive them out of God's house? It wasn't only because their presence there, their buying and selling there, was a dishonor to God. It was mainly because the proclamation of God's name was the only thing that would rescue those who would be rescued from the coming destruction. Zeal for his neighbor drove Jesus to do something about this buying and selling in his temple. How could anyone think, with all that commerce going on around them, how could anyone pray? How could anyone know the true God or hear his word when apparently even the priests and the religious leaders were perfectly fine with the temple being turned into a marketplace, nothing to do with God or his name? How could anyone focus on their sin or on the atoning sacrifices that God provided? How could anyone hear the words that Jesus would so urgently teach over those last few days of his on this earth before his crucifixion during that holy week? So Jesus cleansed the temple and cleared a place for the crowds to gather and listen to God's word one last time before he, the Lamb of God, would be offered up for the sins of the world. Then, after the temple was quiet again over the next few days, Jesus sat down and taught them. Large crowds who were still willing to listen. And in spite of the opposition, in spite of the hatred of the Jewish leadership toward Jesus, he sat down in their midst and taught for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those who would still hear and believe the gospel. Such is the role of the church still today, to remember Jerusalem, in humility and in fear, not with pride, so that we never become proud or complacent toward God and His Word. To weep and lament over the lost, as Jesus did, but not only that, to drive out of the church all the worldly things that would hinder the truth of the gospel from being proclaimed and heard. And then to teach those who will listen, because there will always be some who listen, some who repent, some who believe, even as there will always be many who rage against Christ and against His church. The church, the communion of saints, will be just fine. The tears Jesus shed over Jerusalem were not shed over how terrible things will be for his believers, for his church, or how hopeless the situation will be for them. His believers are not the ones who will be punished by God. His Christians are not the ones who will be destroyed on the day of wrath, for as Paul writes, there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember Jerusalem and take comfort in Jesus' mourning. He mourns over those who will be punished for their unbelief, but he continues to rejoice over his holy people who have been cleansed from their sins by faith in his blood shed on the cross. And the day of wrath that is coming on this world, on the wicked, will be a day of salvation for those who put their hope in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.